بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. Welcome to another dua, and we welcome all of us, including myself, to this great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which is a dua from the Ahlul Bayt. And we hope and pray that He has enabled us and continues to enable us to make the most of this blessed month, inshaAllah. On the 17th day of the month of Ramadan, the dua that we have been taught to recite reads as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma hdini fihi lisalih al-a'mal. Allah, guide me in it, in this month, on this day. لصالح الأعمال. واقض لي فيه الحوائج والأعمال. يا من لا يحتاج إلى التفصيل والسؤال. يا عالما بما في صدور العالمين. صل على محمد وآله الطاهرين. This is a very beautiful dua. What we ask is for God to guide us initially, the first passage. Allahumma hdini fi lisalih al-a'mal. Guide me to the good of the actions, the good of the deeds. This hidayah, this guidance, has multiple dimensions. And we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of them. Some of the dimensions that are related to this are as follows. One, Allahumma hdini fi lisalih al-a'mal. That I learn generally what good deeds are. I need to know that. On that note, we need a lot of help. Those who've not embarked on the path of perfection, of trying to reach the proximity of the Divine, they haven't even identified that as the goal, we may not understand what this is saying. But those of us that have embarked on this journey and they're really trying to understand what the goal is, what the objective is, what my perfection is, and understand how we're going to get there, we generally come to the understanding that it's through ibadah, through worship, through ta'ah and obedience. But when it comes to the details, what is ta'ah here? What is additional ta'ah? What are the extra things that I can do? Is there anything that I can do that will help me? We have a lot of ignorance. We need help on that. When we look at all of the findings we have in ahadith, in verses, those of us who don't directly go to ahadith and verses, we go to the works of ulama, which the majority of us should do that. When we go there, sometimes it gets a bit confusing as well, because there are a number of things that are mentioned as obligations, a number of things that are mentioned as recommendations. And sometimes understanding that becomes difficult. Understanding the red lines itself becomes difficult. If a person is trying to progress, when they face those difficulties in understanding even what the right path is, what the rule is, should I be doing this, should I not be doing this, they would realize they need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them. Now that Risala that they read, that book that they are trying to learn their ahkam from, is itself a guidance that's provided by God, and we're asking Him to provide that. But also beyond that, or extra steps in that way, and in that path, need to be taken to have a real understanding of what that is. Sometimes it becomes ambiguous to us, sometimes maybe the wording really is unclear, not just to us, it's just unclear. We start facing these difficulties to learn what it is that we actually have to do. So we need help in that regard. Another thing that we need help on guiding us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us in particular instances to know what is right of the ahkam here. In other words, understanding which rule applies here. Let's say we've understood all of the rules in Islam, but which rule applies here? Is it rule number one or rule number two? Do I have to, in this very difficult situation, for example, go with what my parents are saying? Or is it haram for me and I have to do something differently, although my parents are going to be unsatisfied with that? Which one should I pick? Which one should I choose? Is it a time that I'm supposed to be silent here for the good of the Muslim Ummah, not say anything, not object to what was said, not object to what is being done? Or it's actually the time to speak out and face the difficulties of it and take the heat? What is it the time for doing? What do we need to do at this particular moment in time? That requires guidance as well. We need guidance from Allah to help us make that decision. And the last thing about hidayah or guidance to salih al-a'mal is to actually do them. God's mercy and God's guidance is involved in us carrying out that guidance practically. In other words, if it's time to pray, knowing that it's the time to pray, and knowing that this is not the time for anything else, this is actually, yes, it is the time to pray, all that can be there, but I still end up not praying. I still end up, for various reasons. Now, prayer is not the best of examples, unless it is in a difficult situation, difficult circumstances. In the workplace, today I've had a situation that I haven't been able to pray. The time of prayer is coming to an end. If I want to pray, I have to stop right in the middle of the office in front of all these people, start bowing and prostrating, finding the Qibla, and otherwise I'm not going to be able to pray. How am I going to choose that? Or am I going to think that, okay, you know, it's a sin, but I'll just make it up later? I know this is the time to pray. I can do it now, but it's difficult. Am I going to choose to actually do it or not? We need God's guidance in carrying it out as well, in performing the act as well. So we want all of those. Allahumma hdini fihi salih al-a'mal, waqdi li fihi al-hawa'ij wal-a'mal. Oh Allah, fulfill my needs and my wishes, al-amal. Hawa'ij, needs, refers to the day-to-day needs that we have to survive. Whether it's food and drink, shelter, or job, or whatever else it is that we need in order to survive. These are our hajat, our needs. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's important for us to have this feeling that God is the one that's fulfilling these needs for me, and I turn to Him to ask for them. I don't turn to other people. If I turn to other people, I turn towards them and I turn to them with the understanding that these are the means, and it's actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's going to give it to me through these means. And me, myself, doing the work and going and speaking to people to get to my needs, that itself is also a means. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's going to provide it to me through these different means that are available. So, وَقْضِنِي فِيهَا الْحَوَاجُ. We understand that. But then, وَالْأَمَالِ. There's certain things that are wishes. Now, in Islam, there's certain things, certain wishes that we may have that Islam doesn't even like us to have. If I wish for a bigger and bigger house, I wish to have loads of money in my bank account, I wish to have 50 cars, all of them Mercedes and BMWs and Audis and Lamborghinis and Bugattis and so on and so forth. If I wish for these things, that's not even a good thing to wish for. Aman, the wishes that are good, We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us wishes such as being with the Imam of our time, wishes such as being able to make it to paradise, wishes that are more profound, being in the proximity of the divine. These wishes. Allah اقضي لي فيه الحوائج والأعمال. My needs and my wishes, fulfill them, please. يا من لا يحتاج إلى التفسير والسؤال ويا يا عالما بما في صدور العالمين. We're addressing God and we're calling Him in this way. Says, the Imam teaches us to say, يا من لا يحتاج إلى التفسير والسؤال. You're the one who doesn't need tafsir and doesn't need su'al. He doesn't need to ask for us to explain what we need. He doesn't need us to explain what we wish for. He knows it. He doesn't need to ask us even what we want. Why does he not need any of that? Because يَا عَالِمًا بِمَا فِي صُدُورِ الْعَالَمِينَ. He is knowledgeable and knowing of what is in the heart of al-alamin, the people, mankind, jinn, all beings that have hearts, that have understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands that and knows exactly what is in the heart of this believer, of this man, of this woman, of this jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows that, so He doesn't need that. We're saying, oh Allah, basically, in my words, You know what our needs are. You know what I'm asking You for. You know what's in my heart. Please fulfill that. We're asking and begging. And then it's interesting, this is, it seems, the first dua in this month that we are ending it by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His blessings, His mercy on the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. Salli ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin. One of the explanations that some of the ulama give as to why this salawat is important in relation to dua and supplication is the understanding of the shafa'ah of the Holy Prophet and his household. Shafa'ah meaning that they are the mediums through which God provides all the blessings for anyone in the world. So when we ask God to give them blessings, they, as manifestations of the Divine, who are merciful towards those below them, are going to give that blessing, and that blessing will flow to us who are beneath them, and they are the medium of us receiving the mercy. And it's important, now going back to the reason why this is mentioned in the du'as, they are that. The Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt have that position with Allah. But in order for us to be able to be recipients of divine mercy, we need to understand and look towards those mediums so we don't go to the wrong mediums of receiving the mercy of God. We need to go to the intermediary people and creations that God provides us with what we need through. We need to do that and ask God through those mediums. And that's why we're told in the du'as and the supplications to have this salawat. صلى على محمد وآله الطاهرين الحمد لله رب العالمين